or in your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 5. Hebrews chapter 5. That's there. Everyone open their Bibles as you follow along as we read these opening words. Hebrews chapter 5. Our opening reading comes here in Hebrews chapter 5. We're going to begin reading in verse number 11. Hebrews chapter 5, verse number 11. Of whom we have many things to say, and it's hard to be uttered, seeing that you all are dull of hearing. For when, for the time that you ought to be the teachers, you ought to be the instructors, you have need that one teach you again. These things which be the first principles of the oracles of God, the words of God. And you have become as such as having need of milk and not the strong meat. For everyone that uses milk is unskillful in the word righteousness. For he is a babe. He is an infant. He is a child. But strong meat belongs to them that are of full age, of maturity. Even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised, that they discern both good and evil. Turn to this particular text as we are opening up our Bible conference. We find ourselves looking at this subject of the Bible itself. And here, the writer of Hebrews is writing to these of his audience, and he uses this comparison of milk and meat. Now, we as parents, we are familiar. We don't give your infant child a spago to steak. We say that for ourselves. It's just wasted food as they play. You can't digest it. You can't take it in. You can't hold on to it. It's just too harsh. And so we give them the simple stuff, just the basic nutrients, and give them milk. So we understand this particular concept. We understand, but the writer here is talking about our comprehension of the Word of God. So it makes sense to us. This is not a hard concept that someone is new to their faith. We don't expect them to have a mastery of the Word of God. We're not expecting them to be able to give a long dissertation or dissect the Word of God in a skillful manner. We expect them to be young. We expect them to be immature. We expect them to be as infants in their handling of the Word of God. But what the writer of Hebrews is drawing here is that this audience has been walking in their faith for some time. They're not new to the faith. This isn't a brand new concept. This is something that they have been around for a while. Now, sometimes we refer to ourselves as having second birth dates when we talk about the day that we came to believe in God. How many years do we have under our belt of having a relationship with God? Some of us, just a few. Amen. Praise God. Glad you are a believer. Some of us have been around a while, older than yours. And there is an expectation that the Word of God is not unfamiliar. It's not foreign territory. It's not the sense of handling the Word of God like you are a child. And yet, that's what this audience is. It says, I have a heavy series of topics to lay upon you, but unfortunately, you are not able to digest them. You're still handling the Word of God like it's not. And that's a problem. That's a problem. And he says the root of the problem comes, and he says that these who handle it with milk, these who are the milk drinkers, he says this in verse 13, the problem here is you are unskillful in the word of righteousness. That's pretty dangerous territory. You are unskillful in the word of righteousness. And he draws upon them, why is this dangerous? Why is this a problem? Why is this dangerous that you have a number of years under your belt? You've been walking with God for some time. You have been a member of the church for some time, and you're unskillful. Why is that a problem? Why view that to be a problem? And he gives this example in verse number 12. For when the moment arises that you need to be the teacher, you need to be the instructor, you are unable. You're unable. Now, we in the church group, we've been around church for some time, we see that we're teachers, possibly teachers, and we think, that's never going to be me. I am never going to be the Sunday school teacher. Right? Not a problem. I'm never going to be that one to stand up there and preach the Word of God. That's not my calling. So, that does not apply to me.
Wrong.
Wrong. Every member of the church, every member of the body of Christ will find a moment when you need to be the teacher. When you need to be the instructor. Man, woman, teenager. There's going to be a time where you need to be that one that can handle the Word of God skillfully. It might be a moment of testing in your life. Any Christian who's older than dirt will tell you, you're going to run into some rough patches. You're going to run into some hard times. You might be helping a friend, a spouse, a neighbor who are running through a hard time. And you need to call upon the Word of God. You need to be the teacher in that moment. You need to be the instructor in that moment. But the Bible is foreign to you. That's a problem. You might be a parent who needs to instruct their children on the ways of God. Raising your sons and daughters as the Bible identifies. Dealing with discipline in a biblical way. You need to be an instructor. You might find yourself as a believer sharing the gospel message to an unbeliever, a friend, a co-worker, a classmate. And yet the Bible is born to you. That's a problem. That is a problem. And he draws the attention to the audience saying, I wish that there are things to teach you, to share with you, but like you just are not capable of it. Because you're still a child. Is that a problem? Yeah, I wonder what he would have written. You hear anything about that? A little The book of Hebrews, the writer of the book of Hebrews, he lays down some things already. Can you imagine what he did not write? He gave his audience to... Us being familiar with the Word of God. It is not something that we stand up here and harp on the pulpit, preachers talk about it, and deal with it in summer camp. It's not just something that we're fleeing to you as, this is probably a good thing for you. This is probably something that you should make part of your life. We're harping on the subject because it is a necessity for the believer and your walk with God. It is a necessity that the Word of God is familiar to you. We find ourselves spending time in God's Word. There is always a need. If we legit open our Bible in the mornings and read a passage of Scripture, there is a takeaway, and you can share that takeaway to anybody in your day. We find ourselves as men and women in modern Christian church, that the Bible is not a necessity in our lives. And that's a problem. That is a problem. We find enough time in the morning to do everything else. I take a shower. I get ready for work. Stop and get my coffee on my way to work. I pack my lunch. Are those necessities? Yes, taking a shower is a necessity. It takes time. And we find time in the morning to deal with the necessities of life. And for some reason, the Word of God does not rank as a necessity. This evening, I want to draw your attention to just how amazing the Bible is. Now, when I was young, we had this term about these nerd kids going and getting excited about some Trekkie thing, technology thing, right? And we say geek out, right? I'll try not to geek out on the Bible with you this evening, but it will be hard. I want to share with you how amazing this collection of 66 books written by 40 authors of amazing things and why it should be amazing. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Direct our hearts' attention unto God. As gracious Heavenly Father, we just thank you for the privilege it is to gather for worship. We thank you for the privilege it is to study the Word of God. We thank you for the honor it is to lift up prayers unto you, to direct our attention unto you, and to know you are listening and you see. Father, we just pray that we would never compromise our relationship, that we would not compromise our faith. Father, we just pray that as we gather this evening, as we read the Word of God, as we talk about this subject, Father, we pray that you would be honored and glorified in all the words that are said. We ask this in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Second Timothy, Paul writes to Timothy in very familiar words. He says this in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse number 14. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse number 14. of these things, Paul is writing to him, says, of these things, this subject matter, of these things, put them into remembrance. Remind them regularly. Put them into remembrance, charging them, commanding them before the Lord, that they strive not about words to no profit. As we get moving too fast, Paul is instructing Timothy, the pastor, preacher of the church, saying when you stand up in there and you're talking to the congregation of God, remind them how important it is. No, in fact, scratch that. Charge them, command them, don't waste your time on words that have no profit. Now we get on a tangent there, and I'm just going to let that go for the moment. What does have profit is our subject? The words of God. He says, these words, these topics, these subjects that have no profits, these things that subvert the hearers, these who distract the attention of the listeners. Don't waste your time on that stuff. Life is too short. Verse number 15, instead, study to show, to demonstrate yourself as approved unto God, a workman that needs not to be ashamed, and rightly dividing the word of truth. Don't waste your time on the subjects, and there are a whole lot of subjects out there that don't bring profit in our relationship with God. But instead, study to show thyself approved. This commandment, reminder, this charge, this instruction, listen, God's people, study. Study to demonstrate. He's not saying, listen, preachers, you study. He's saying, listen, men and women of the church, study. Study to demonstrate yourself approved unto God. How would I demonstrate that I am approved unto God? These things, this behavior, this speech, what is it that is approved of God? He gives two phrases. A workman that needs not to be ashamed. I am working on a project, and I do the project correctly, I am not ashamed. But if I manage to put it upside down and have extra parts at the other end, yes, I'm embarrassed. Right? We are living lives for God. And I should be living that life that in a way that is approved of God. How do I know what way of living is God acceptable? Listen to the local social media channel, the news, listen to the church gossip channel. No. Study. Study the Word of God, and that is your metric on whether or not the life you are living is approved. Yeah. And the second phrase, rightly dividing the word of truth. Rightly dividing, correctly dividing. This is a Greek word here that means to cut straight, to cut in a straight line. You ever tried to cut cardboard boxes, slice them up? I'm gonna be very careful on all that straight line. And what does cardboard do? I'm off to the side every time, right? It always curves. To cut straight, to divide correctly. a demonstration that you are studying to show thyself approved is your ability to divide the word of God correctly. The word of God is an amazing book. In my very short time that I have with you this evening, I'm going to run through a list of reasons why I think the Word of God is amazing. And I'm going to try not to run out of time. The Word of God is amazing. The Word of God covers a broad range of history. And my wife just went to sleep. Said that each word. And she's gone. Broad range of history. It covers a tremendous amount of history. The book of Genesis covers creation and patriarchs. Exodus to Malachi focused on Israel. Matthew to Jude focused on the church. And Revelation is casting our eyes to the future. Tremendous amounts of history. The book of Genesis covers 2,000 years from the creation to the flood. 2,000 years from the flood to the arrival of Christ. And 2,000 years from Christ to the present. And Revelation says there's a 1,000-year reign coming. 7,000 years. Does it cover? Think of all the empires that have risen and fallen in that time period. Here, right on the Yellow, the Akkadian Empire rose and fell. Now I don't want to sleep. Very afraid of the Akkadian Empire. Akkadian Empire, we have this fellow by the name of Nimrod who establishes this word of law. We have the Sumerian Empire, rise and fall. That's where we get our basis of time. 60 seconds, 60 minutes, 360 days in a year. That comes from the Sumerian Empire. Time. The Egyptians, they rose to power. The richest country in all of history was under Joseph when everyone sold their gold for food. Israelites came and fell. Assyrians rose and fell. Babylon rose and fell. We have Nebuchadnezzar's hanging garden still in existence today. Persia rose and fell. Greek and Rome rose and fell. All of these empires that have come and fallen, all of these empires that have influence over the biblical times. So if we're going to rightly divide the word of God, we have to make sure that we're studying those historical moments and their cultural settings and political influence. That's a big task. That's a big task to think about why Cyrus would issue an edict returning Israel to Jerusalem. What God said he was going to do that. But what political reason did he have to do that? His political reason was this is how they kept rebellion from occurring in their empire. He would return them to their hometowns on one roof. Pray for the king. And so they did. They returned. Studying the Word of God in its political and cultural context takes time. And one of the great mistakes that we make as modern American Christians is we read the Bible in a modern American way. And not the Near Eastern mind. Not the Palestine way. Not how the Babylonians had fought or why they handled Daniel and his friends the way they did. We have to understand that political and cultural context, and guess what that means?
Right. Study.
These time frames. Study the Word of God. The Bible is amazing because of its language. Three languages was the Bible written in. Hebrew and Greek and? I said three. Everyone thinks. Hebrew and Greek and Aramaic. Aramaic, that each of these language systems has a different way of grammar. And in our simple way of approaching languages, we think words are one for one. That's not true. It's not true. Hebrew was written where it was a pictorial language. And each of these Hebrew words are based on a two-letter alphabet that has a similar picture to it. Greek is written. We, in our English language, have three expressions of time, past, present, and future. Greek has 16 demonstrations of time. It's a different set of rules. Expressing ideas, expressing these concepts, it's hard to translate, it's hard to understand. But it is a necessity that we recognize the infallible Word of God was not English. Sometimes we get stuck on the English word, and we get stuck on the doctrinal stance of English, and we convince ourselves that God wrote the Bible in English. Hebrew, Greek, Aramaic, 40 authors. And in their native tongue, did they write the infallible Word of God? So to rightly divide the Word of God is to understand it's historical, it's political, it's cultural, it's language context. The way to do that means study. I need to study. I need to study. The Bible is amazing in its 66 books. It is compiled together, and every genre of literature is contained in the Bible. Factual historical books, hymns and songs, prayers and laments. It has poetry. There's Job and Nathan. And you don't handle poetry in the same way that you would handle factual and historical books. I have to recognize that there is a difference and handle them correctly. Parables and stories and prophetic language, each of these are handled in a different way. So when I'm reading, you're recognized. Are we talking poetry here? Are we talking history here? How do I recognize? How do we know the difference? You gotta study. You gotta study. Each culture has a different writing style. Now I'm geeking out. Hebrew writes in a chiastic format. That's where our devotion came from. It's a chiastic way of writing. It builds to a climax, it comes down from the climax. Greek style of writing was question and answers, like Malachi. There's a different writing style. There are comparisons in the Bible. Sometimes we use similes, sometimes we use metaphor, sometimes we use allegory, sometimes we use types and shadows. And how do I know the difference? How do you define the difference? You got to study. Simile and a metaphor are not the same. Parable and a type, not the same. So when I'm reading that verse, because this is what we do in our daily Bible reading, we look at one verse, we pull it out of its historical It's political, we pull it out of its cultural, we pull it out of its language, and we don't consider whether or not it's a simile, metaphor, an allegory, a parable, type, or a symbol. We pull it out and we say, this is what the Word of God says. Are you rightly dividing the Word of God? You gotta study. Book of Revelations, 404 verses. And out of that 404 verses, there are 800 references to the Old Testament. 800. We open up the book of Revelation and we begin reading and we begin decoding, interpreting the book of Revelation with no consideration of the 800 references to the Old Testament. How do I get familiar with 800 references? You got it. You got it. I'm being very gentle in my analysis of the Bible. There was much more I have skipped away. I want you to get this sense that the Bible is an amazing book.
Amen.
A book that covers so much history, a book that covers so much culture, a book that touches so many different languages. It actually begins to feel a little intimidating, doesn't it? And how does one person know all of that? It gets a little intimidating to think that all of that is contained in these 66 books. And I am expected to study, to know, to recognize. Feels a little intimidating. But I want you to know that you should not be intimidated. Because the Word of God was given to you. But there are some criteria. Let me read run through three verses that will bring this to the close. Matthew chapter 13. If I want to understand the Word of God, then Jesus makes this determination that there is a requirement. In Matthew chapter 13, verse number 11, he makes this requirement known to us. He says in verse number 11, Matthew chapter 13, the words of our Lord Jesus Christ himself, saying, because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom. The mysteries of the kingdom which come from heaven, but to them it is not given. For whosoever has, to him shall be given. He shall have no more abundance, but whosoever has not, from him it will be taken, even those things he has. Therefore, I speak to them in parables. And here he lists the reason. Because they see and see not, they hear and hear not, neither do they comprehend. This is prophecy. In quotes. This prophetic statement, by hearing ye shall hear and shall not understand, seeing ye shall see and shall not perceive. And why does this condition exist? Verse 15, for this people's heart is waxed old. Their ears are dull of hearing. We read that in Hebrews. Their ears are dull of hearing. Their eyes have been closed, lest at any time, at any moment, you can choose, you can make this choice, at any moment, they should see with their eyes, hear with their ears, understand with the heart, and be converted. and I will heal them. Blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. I cannot tell you the number of books, the number of podcasts that I have listened to you by unbelievers telling me what the Word of God says. I'm impressed that they are familiar, but don't get me wrong. They are more familiar than, quite frankly, most of church members. But they're missing a secret ingredient, aren't they? They are not even there. And you can be familiar with the Bible. It doesn't mean you understand. Ladies and gentlemen, to you, it has been given. To you, the mysteries of the kingdom, that God has written this for you. Don't be intimidated. But you got to study.
Amen.
1 Corinthians chapter 2, Paul writes these words. He says this. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Beginning to read in verse number 10. He adds to this requirement of a believer, he adds to this another one, verse 10. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse number 10, but God has revealed them unto us by His Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. For what man knows the things of man unless it's the spirit of that man which is in him? And so there is this comparison. Even so true, the things of God no man knows but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, we have received the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us. I need to be a believer to understand. Do you are the mysteries of kingdom believers? How is it we can know the Spirit of God? John writes these words. I'll read this to you. Don't turn there. 1 John chapter 2, verse 27. But the anointing which you have received of him abides in you. And you all need not that any man teach you. That same anointing teaches you of all things, and is truth, and is no lie. Even as it has taught you, you shall abide in the Lord. Secret ingredients. I gotta be a believer. Otherwise, this morning, my instructor is God Himself, the Spirit that is in you, the Spirit that is in me. But if I never spend time in the Word of God, how can He teach you? The Word of God has been given to you. And I am being gentle on how amazing the Bible is. But the preservation of the Bible is a miracle in its own right. Because it's God ordained. That this was preserved and handed down from generation to generation, that you may hold it in your hand. It is a gift. God has preserved it to give this gift to you. God has given you the Spirit to be your instructor. That's a miracle in its own right. That you, God-fearing man and woman, can understand the mysteries of the kingdom of God of heaven. And yet, it's not a necessity. That's a problem.
Pray.
God has preserved the human will. Don't toss it aside. Embrace it. Make it a part of who you are. The sword of truth is on your belt. The world can make all of its demands that it wants, but you have the right to carry your Bible with you. You have the privilege to make the Word of God a part of you. Don't squander
it.
Because Paul instructed Timothy, those words, study to show myself through the life that you live and your ability to rightly divide. We have engaged in our Bible conference and many more preachers. Men will stand up here and divide the word of God. May we cherish this time.
Remember
that. May we cherish our study.
Yeah.